So Exodus 20, starting at verse 18 on page 78. God's just given his people the Ten Commandments. And this is what happens next. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it." What is going on there? So we're at the end of this Ten Commandments series, and those of us that are regular have been learning the Ten Commandments on our hands with actions. So everyone can join in with this, and particularly if you know it, hopefully you'll pick it up if you don't. We start with Commandment Zero, which is this: I am the Lord your God. How does it go? Thank you. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. And then number one: have no other gods beside me. Number two: do not bow down to idols. Number three: do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Number four: keep the Sabbath holy. Number five: honor your father and your mother. That's sign language. Number six: do not murder. Number seven: do not commit adultery. Remember, these are the kind of children, and this is the husband and wife. Number eight: do not steal. Number nine: do not lie or do not give false testimony. Number 10: do not covet, because that's like grabbing something we don't have. And here's the question for us this morning. This isn't on. I dropped the clicker earlier, and it might not be working. Matt, can you skip it on? Is it working? Oh, it is. The screen's not working. Here we go. So the question for us this morning is, how are we going to respond to all that God has told us in the Ten Commandments? And weirdly, you saw it a bit early, God's answer is this: don't be afraid, but do be afraid. Don't be afraid, but do be afraid. Wait, what? That doesn't sound right, does it? But have a look again at verse 20. And this is the key verse, I think, not just of this bit, but of the whole section that we've been looking at. Chapter 20, verse 20, Moses says, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Don't be afraid, and do be afraid. Are any of you scared of anything? If any of you afraid, do you have fears? A few of us have fears. Let's just think about a few fears. Do we know what this is? A blutophobia. Blutophobia, it is. Sometimes I think my children have this. It is the fear of washing. What about this one? Barophobia. It's not the fear of someone called Barry. Barophobia, it is the fear of gravity, which I suppose is a problem unless you're a spaceman, but that's the fear of gravity. Do you know what this one is? Febiphobia. I sometimes have this when I do youth group on a Sunday night. It is the fear of teenagers. I'm only joking, Dan. And some of you might have this right now. Homilophobia. Do you know what it is, homilophobia? The fear of sermons. Yes. You can tell me afterwards whether you suffer from that. And then what about this one? Theophobia. The fear of God. But unlike most phobias, the fear of God is a really good thing. Fearing God, it means taking God seriously, not messing around with him, because God is God. And so we should fear him. But verse 20 also says we shouldn't fear. What's going on? Well, here's what we're going to see more fully today. Can anyone get this to come and work? Do I need to just turn this on, Matt? Or? Here's what we're going to see today. Don't be afraid, and so stay away, but do be afraid, so you will obey. Can we all say that after three? One, two, three. Don't be afraid, and so stay away, but do be afraid, so you will obey. And what we're going to do this morning is take those two things in turn, okay? So first of all, don't be afraid, and so stay away. So every time I say don't be afraid, you can reply with? You've got it. Let's try. Don't be afraid. Have a look at verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 20. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet blast and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. Now, when we were in here in chapter 19 a few weeks ago, some of us will remember that they were getting ready to meet with God. They were here at a giant mountain. God was going to come down in the clouds. And you remember, they had to consecrate themselves. In other words, they had to make themselves holy before this holy God. Washing and all sorts of stuff. Thanks, guy. And there were these constraints. There were limits. They had the do not cross tape. Because God is so holy that they couldn't come too near to him. And when he does come, it is absolutely frightening. He comes with lightning. Oh, my pen's gone. The people see the lightning. He comes with the sound of a great big trumpet blast. The people hear the trumpet. He comes with fire and burning smoke. The people see it and smell it. And then the whole mountain trembles and shakes. No wonder then that the people tremble too. You can understand in verse 18, they stand at a distance. Verse 19, they say, speak to us yourself, Moses, but don't get God to talk to us again. We're going to die. You see, they know that God is different. They know that God is holy, that he's greater than anything or anyone. And yet Moses says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, so stay away. You see, God's holiness, it doesn't mean that he's out to get them. Flip back to 19, chapter 4. Chapter 19, sorry, verse 4. Just a couple of pages back on 76. God explains what he's done for them since they are in Egypt. He says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's picture language that speaks of God's rescue. He's already rescued them. He's like a husband that wants to marry his wife and have the closest possible relationship with his people. He wants them. He loves them. He is for them. They're his treasured possession. God has brought them safely to this mountain, provided for them on the way, and he's now come down close to them and spoken to them. Do you see? He's totally on their side. So they don't need to be afraid. They want to keep at a distance, away from the mountain, and their instincts are good because God is holy, but that doesn't mean that he's distant. They mustn't think that God doesn't want a relationship. Sure, they can't come too close, but they shouldn't stay too far away either. Don't be afraid. And wonderfully in Jesus, we get to come much closer than the people could. Look at verse 21. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Moses could enjoy something of the closeness of God that the others couldn't. And Moses is a picture of Jesus. Jesus perfectly enjoys being in the full presence of his Father. And when we trust in him, he brings us into the closeness that he has with his Father. That same intimacy. And so we don't have to be afraid of our great God. How good it is then that God isn't like a strict instructor. Remember when I took my, I took two attempts to pass my driving test. The first time I took my driving test, the instructor just really wasn't very nice. I think she was one of these people that just loved to fail people. It's kind of her duty to not pass too many people through in their driving tests. The Ten Commandments are not an exam where if we fail, we're out, and if we pass, we're in. Partly because none of us can pass, not fully. But the thing is, we don't need to obey in order to be saved. In Jesus, we're already rescued. So he doesn't want to come and guilt trip us about our sin. He doesn't want to come and burden us and crush us with the weight of our sin. In Jesus, we are free and forgiven. He's not out to fail you. And how good it is that God isn't some bearded guy in a cloud far away. He's not distant and disinterested in us. He's not too big and too powerful to bother with little old us. He comes close. He wants relationship with us. Don't be afraid. And so stay away. But God does want us also to know that although we can come close, we have to be very, very careful. And we're going to see that in a minute. We need to come to God in reverence and awe, which if you don't understand those words, it really means coming fearing God, knowing that God is God and we are not. And so we're going to sing about approaching that wonderful God in the right attitude now. But you mustn't mess with a lion. You've got to be careful. The windows need to be up. And the doors need to be shut, and you've got to keep your eye out. Well, God is like a lion. And in fact, when we get to Revelation chapter 5 next week, we're told that Jesus is the lion. God has rescued us for relationship. And so you can come wonderfully close to him. Just like that lion got so close to those cars. But he's still God. And so you've got to be careful. There we go. Don't be afraid and so stay away, but do be afraid so you will obey. So every time I say, do be afraid, you can all say, so you will obey. Okay? Do be afraid, so you will obey. Exodus 20, verse 20. Moses says to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Remember the thunder and the lightning and the smoke and the trumpet. The people tremble in fear, and so they should. God has come to put the fear of God in them. Do be afraid, so you will obey. Look at verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. That's the first and the second commandment. No other gods. Do not bow down. He's saying that again. Because God is the only true God. He is the greatest. There is no one like him. And so you are not to mess around with him. We must treat him carefully. He's like a lion. And did you notice the purpose of fearing God is so they will not sin? Do be afraid, so you will obey. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Maybe that surprises you, that that's the great motivation for obedience. But think about this. Fear is often a motivation for us to do all sorts of things. Why do the grown-ups drive more carefully in the rain? Or why should the grown-ups drive more carefully in the rain? Because we fear crashing the car. Why do we brush our teeth? Why should we brush our teeth? Because we fear going to the dentist. Oh, yeah. Why do we hold scissors facing down? Because we fear tripping over and stabbing our eye. And why do we keep the windows and doors shut when driving around lions? Because we fear what a lion will do if it gets in our car. We do all sorts of things in life because we fear. And the fear of God is what should motivate us to do what he says. We don't obey so that we can be saved, but God does save us so that we can obey. God is God, and we are not, and his big, scary holiness means that we should take him seriously and not sin. Someone wrote, this is a think twice before you sin kind of fear. Do be afraid, so you will obey. I mean, you can understand how this terrifying mounting experience would have been enough for the Israelites to stop and think before they sin. Well, hang on a minute. My God is so big and so holy. He doesn't want me to do this. And perhaps we would be slower to disobey if we had this kind of view of God. This kind of view of God. Instead, we can think of him a bit like a funcle. A funcle. Do you know what a funcle is, Henry? You've got a funcle. Okay. A funcle is like a dad, but cooler. We have one here. My brother's here today. He is fun Uncle John, the funcle. You've got a funcle. In fact, then you've got one step up. You've got the bearded funcle. And John is the bearded Funkle, and you might need to see he's actually got the bearded Funkle t-shirt on today that I made him wear. Okay. A funcle is someone who is super cool and super fun. It may or may not be your actual uncle, but they act like an uncle. They're super cool, they're super fun, they're cheeky, they're cuddly, they're harmless, they're abundant of laughs to be around and relax with and have a laugh with. Brilliant fun to hang out with a funcle, even more with a bearded funcle. And we can treat God far too casually. We can be far too relaxed with him. We fail to see God's big holiness, and we just have him as our funcle. And that often means that we have a relaxed view of sin. Oh, God's forgiven me, so it doesn't matter if I obey him. I don't need to rigidly stick to all that God says. Well, that's not hurting anyone, so God won't mind. We will be casual with God's commands when we forget that God is God. And look, keeping God's commands is good for us because disobedience is dangerous. And so just like fearing a lion keeps us safe, well, fearing God keeps us safe because it stops us from sinning. Don't be afraid, so you will obey. Matt, I'm just going to get you to do the PowerPoint. Is that all right? I'll just nod when I need it. And so look, when it comes to the Ten Commandments, well, we won't have any other gods because God is God and we fear him. We won't bow down and worship other things because we fear him above all else. We won't misuse the name of the Lord our God because we fear him. We will keep the Sabbath holy because it's his day and we fear him. We will honor our parents because we care for them, but also because we fear the Lord. We will honor all life and we won't kill because life is precious and because we fear the Lord. We will honor marriage and stick to what the Bible says about relationships because we fear the Lord. We won't steal and we will want to be generous because we fear the Lord. We won't lie. Rather, we use our words to encourage each other and build each other up because we fear the Lord. And we won't covet because we're content in Jesus and because we fear the Lord. Do you see? Do be afraid, so you will obey. And Jesus taught the same thing that Moses teaches here, or rather that God teaches through Moses. Matt, can we have the next slide? It's what Fran read to us earlier. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. Which begs the question, if the very sound of his voice makes us tremble, how can anyone stand before this God and not be thrown into hell? Well, the answer is Exodus 20, verse 24. Have a look at it. God tells the people to make an altar, a table where sacrifices are made. The people stood at a different distance, but through sacrifice, God would make a way to draw near to them and bless them. Verse 24, 26, it's a bit weird, but it basically tells us that God doesn't want a fancy altar because that would distract people from him and his glory. He doesn't want steps on the altar because that's how the other pagan nations that worshipped other gods did stuff, with precious, beautiful stones. And he doesn't want steps because, frankly, if a priest tripped up the stairs and showed a bit too much flesh, it would basically be a place of embarrassment and shame rather than worship. Just a simple altar where a sacrifice would be made. And we don't come to an altar anymore. We come to a simple wooden cross. We're going to celebrate it soon as we drink the wine and we eat the bread. Through his sacrifice, Jesus has brought us wonderfully close. There's no need to stay away. In his sacrifice, Jesus took on himself all the ways we fail to take God seriously and obey him as we should. Through his sacrifice, we are rescued so that now we can freely live lives of fear and obedience. Can we have the last slide, Matt? And so God says, don't be afraid and so keep away, but do be afraid so you will obey. Should we say that all together? 1, 2, 3. Don't be afraid and so stay away, but do be afraid so you will obey. Why don't you spend some time in quiet as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper?